On this second Sunday of Advent, we return again to the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, an old couple awaiting the miraculous birth of their first child, who will become John the Baptist. While you listen to this story, I invite you to consider our question for this morning. How do you allow yourself to be amazed? When the time came for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a boy. Her neighbors and relatives celebrated with her because they had heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy. On the eighth day, it came time to circumcise the child. They wanted to name him Zechariah because that was his father's name. But his mother replied, "No, his name will be John." They said to her, "None of your relatives have that name." Then they began gesturing to his father to see what he wanted to call him. After asking for a tablet, he surprised everyone by writing, "His name is John." At that moment, Zechariah was able to speak again, and he began praising God. All their neighbors were filled with awe, and everyone throughout the Judean highlands talked about what had happened. All who heard about this considered it carefully. They said, "What then will this child be?" Indeed, the Lord's power was with him. For the good news of Jesus Christ, thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God of the universe, open our hearts. Open our eyes as if for the first time, so that we might see your world with awe and wonder again. And for this moment, let us pause the analysis that goes on in our heads, any of our intellectualizing, and make room for wonder. That like Elizabeth and Zechariah and their neighbors near and far, we may be brought back to awe and gratitude. And in so doing, we will find you in the hallways of our thoughts and the pathways of our souls. That the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts may be truly acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In gratitude we pray. Let the people say, Amen. All their neighbors were filled with awe, and everyone throughout the Judean countryside talked about what had happened. And all who heard about this considered it carefully. And they said, "What then will this child be? For indeed, the Lord's power was with him." So last Sunday, I preached fairly hard for me. And afterward, I felt good about it. It's maybe a little crazy. And then afterwards, 6 to 12 of you told me that you couldn't hear me very well. We spent a lot of time on this sound system. We're still spending a lot of time on it. We're gonna have to spend a lot of money on this sound system. How are you hearing me right now? In the back pew? Okay. If it gets muddy or anything, just let me know and I'll adjust or start yelling. But I have to say, as I approached this week, it was hard for me to find my sermon. I looked under the chairs, under the bed, in the cupboards, in the glove box, on my bike rides, on my walks out at Castle Island, and I couldn't find this sermon on amazement, which seemed ironic. So I came here today with little bits of paper in my mind and pieces of lint in my pocket and spare change, and I might try to put them together for you. But I also need you to be thinking about a question, which is, what amazes you in this life? How are you amazed? And for those of you who are willing, I'm going to invite you to help me close out this sermon at the end with any question, any answers you have to that question. How many of you were here last week when I tried to preach hard? Oh, great. Good to see you again. So we talked about what our theme is from this Sanctified Art series that we're following both in our church school and here in worship. And the theme is, how does a weary world rejoice? It's on the cover of your worship order. How does a weary world rejoice? And it comes from that wonderful song that we hear on Christmas Eve. We'll hear it 2 weeks from tonight. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And we're aware that all of us have a sense of the weariness of the world anytime we open our apps and check what's going on in the world. But we are asking what it means to lean into joy in this Advent season. And we talked last week that joy can be many things. There are many avenues into joy. There's a landscape of joy that we talked about, the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu talking about. And it can be things like pleasure or amusement or contentment or excitement or relief or ecstasy or bliss or radiant pride, even unhealthy joy at the pain of others like Schadenfreude. It can be elevation or gratitude. Or as we're talking about today, it can be wonder. The essential thing about joy is it's not one thing, but it can be many things and many things that lead to us. Now, when I turn away from you, can you hear me? Great, good. It's also like love, joy is not just a feeling, but it's a commitment. We say we are going to attempt to live into joy regardless of what the world is telling us. Joy does not short shrift our feelings for sadness or anguish or sorrow or pain in the world. It doesn't ignore those things. It says they exist, and yet I'm going to lean into joy with that awareness. 2 weeks ago, Kate preached about Zechariah's silence. When he questioned the angel, he was silent for 9 months of the pregnancy. And she encouraged us to think about that, of how this Advent we can lean into silence as a pathway to joy. Last week, I talked about connecting with others, how Mary and Elizabeth connected over this pregnancy. And today, we're going to talk about when the news was finally revealed and the baby came, the amazement that people experienced. And as always, we've written out questions for you to take home, and I told you that the best Advent Christmas gift you can give your pastors is to engage with those questions. And I'm going to have 15 good minutes over here at the end of worship. It will be a conversation, not just one-on-ones, but to talk about any questions or thoughts you have. I'd invite you to turn to those questions now to look at them at the back, in the middle of your order of worship, actually, before the announcements. And the first question is the one I want you to just think about while we're preaching today, which is, when was the last time you were truly amazed, or something like that, or something that amazes you? We've been lingering in this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth for 3 weeks, which is the first time in Advent I've ever done that. This isn't even assigned in the lectionary for us to study, but I've always loved this story. And we've been leaning here because this curriculum has invited us to do that. And they have this pregnancy of this little boy who would become John the Baptist, that voice that cries in the wilderness. And it was stunning, amazing news in those days. It's stunning in our own day, right? The idea that a woman in her old age could have a baby, it defies what our 21st century scientific mode minds can handle, which is why we have to wrestle with it again, because what is the real truth in this story? One of the artists for this series, Sanctified Art, wrote that she asked the question, when was the last time you were truly amazed? And she said, I don't mean surprised. There is much about this world that should shock us, but she meant amazed, wrapped in wonder, absorbed in an unexpected delight. And she said she loves witnessing the moment when her one-year-old daughter allows amazement to wash over her like a gentle rain. Her jaw drops open. Her eyes widen and stay fixed. And for a rare moment, she gets very still. It recently happened when her daughter discovered the kids across the street playing basketball. She'd just never seen that before. and she became completely absorbed. Her senses had not yet grown dull to the magic surrounding her. I remember about 25 years ago, my mother was moving out of the house I'd grown up in, the house that she'd lived in for 40 years. She'd been widowed for 10 years, and she was about to move into a condo. And I was helping her out, and we had to stop at a big appliance store for her to figure out something with the fridge. And my mother is a wheeler dealer. She always got the best deals. She loved to argue and bargain with the salespeople, so I knew we'd be there a while. So I wandered into the TV room. And for some reason in that TV room, they were showing the depiction of a live birth, human birth. I don't know why they were showing that out for God and everybody to see in that large appliance store, but I was transfixed. And I just watched this, you know, the whole procedure, the baby being liberated from the womb and out into this wonderful, weary world, and the umbilical cord being snipped, and the cleaning the baby up and swaddling the child and giving it to the mother's arms, and the first connection, and the father standing by, and the medical team all seeming so proud and relieved. And then my mother comes up behind me and she says, "Okay, we're ready to go." And I turned to her and I had tears streaming down my face. She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, I've just been watching a human birth." And she said, "Oh, you've been absorbed in much bigger things." It was for me a moment of amazement and something that I hadn't expected, but for some reason made an indelible impression because I'm telling you about it 25 years later. The thing is that this kind of amazement is always there and ready for us. We just have to be willing to lean into it. And it is a pathway into joy. It is an antidote to the weary world. Last February, Julie gave an offering invitation in which she mentioned some of the new research that had been coming out about the science of awe, A-W-E. There's a book out, you may have checked it out, called Awe: The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. And one of the authors, and then I preached about a little bit from the next week, and I'm going to recycle some material here, but awe is the feeling, the author says, awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your understanding of the world. It's vast, but awe is also simpler than we think, and it's accessible to everyone. And while many of us may associate wonder, amazement, awe with dramatic life-changing events like the birth of a child, the truth is it can be a part of our everyday life. It's a quality of perceived vastness, as well as something that challenges us to rethink our previously held ideas. It can be triggered from moments like seeing the Grand Canyon or a beautiful sunset, or simply witnessing an act of kindness happening right out on the street in front of you. And for our modern sensibility, it has psychological benefits, because awe, for many of us, we have a critical voice in our head telling us that we're not smart or beautiful or rich enough. And when we tap into that awe, that wonder, that amazement, it helps to counter that negative self-talk. Right? Sign me up. The question is, how often do we pay attention to things that are greater than ourselves? As I wrote to you this week in the blog, too often we rush around through busy days just trying to get from one project, one meeting, one test, one conversation, one thing on our to-do list to the next. And we don't often allow ourselves to pay attention, full attention, on purpose, to what's going on in the world around us. We can all get sucked in by the hustle culture of always being on the go, but is it really serving us? Is it really good for us in the long term? Many of us might be saying, "Yeah, I'm not so sure." But the pressure to keep on the go, to keep pushing like that, is very real. So what can we do to, now that we can actually fit awe into our busy life? We do it by just paying attention, by choosing to do it. Distraction is the thing that is the enemy of awe. It impedes our focus, which is essential for us to find it. And so we have to keep developing our interest and our curiosity. And if we're distracted too much, we're really not paying attention. So I'd love to hear from you. If there are things that amaze you in this world that you stop and pay attention and they just take your breath away. Let that question hover in the air. What are you amazed by? And anyone who wants to share, feel free to raise your hand. Yes, Barbara.
The little things that never change, no matter what.
The little things that never change, no matter. They're little good things that never change no matter what happens. Katie.
When a child learns to speak and tells you of things that happened before they were able to speak.
When a child learns to speak and tells you things that happened before they could speak. Anne.
Sunsets on Cornhill Beach.
Sunsets on Cornhill Beach. Can we all join you there on Cornhill Beach? Valencia, I'll come back to you. Kelly.
My son telling me he needed to use the toilet for the first
time. Her son telling her he needed to use the toilet for the first time. Valencia.
The kindness and generosity of strangers.
The kindness and generosity of strangers. Amen. Amy. When her dog won't continue the walk until he smells each petal on the flowers. Yes.
Good to see you. What amazed me in the last 3 years, especially at the height of the COVID pandemic, was just waking up to live another day because you get to be a stage, like all bets are off, especially COVID hit older people and people with compromised immunity. So I figured, like, every day,
amen. So during the 3 years of the pandemic, waking up and still being here. Because as we get older, all bets are off. And just getting above ground is a thing to be amazed. Yes, Mike. The first roses in the front yard. The first growth, not even the roses, just the first little spring of growth in the front yard in the spring. Did you hear that? Right. Yes, Marco.
Stars.
Stars. Merle.
Witnessing live performance with an audience when people are moved.
Witnessing a live performance with an audience when people are moved. Yes, Pat. Our very own rose window. Go ahead and take a peek at that and be in awe and amazement. So, Louise.
The tide coming in.
The tide coming in. I have to say, I'm amazed to see our beloved, when we have a five-week-old, we have our beloved Lucille Douglas, who turns 98 tomorrow, is here. Amazed. So that's a great sampling. Thank you for helping me finish out the sermon. Awe and amazement are there for us for the taking. We only just have to pay attention, take a time out, look around, and God is always giving us a signal. It's time to be amazed. Amen.